This morning, let's turn to Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Well, starting at verse 25, we're going to look at some words of Jesus from Luke chapter 14 this morning. We want to look at what happened here and a little illustration that Jesus gives, a little thing that he tells us that sometimes as we read over this, we might seem a little out of place. We might not understand what he's talking about. Luke chapter 14, and we want to start looking here at verse 25. Verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what man going to war against another, or what king going to war against another king, sitteth not down first and counteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth ambassadors and desireth conditions of peace. So whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now we read quite a few verses there, and really what we're going to focus on is those two illustrations that Jesus gave us. But I want us to see it in context. I want us to see what Jesus was talking about. Now as we look at the verses that we just read, the first thing that I want us to see back in verse 25, a great multitude, or great multitudes it says, were following him. Jesus had a crowd following. He had a lot of people. Isn't this what we want? Isn't this what we desire for, is a lot of people to follow us? We want a lot of people. We like to have a lot of people going with us. We like to have a lot of people at our church. But we have to be careful not to forsake the truth to attract others or to keep others. Not to change ourselves, change what is right, to keep others. Notice Jesus did not do that. He didn't change for the crowds. He didn't give them a different message now that he had a lot of people coming to him. He didn't try to water it down to them here. Jesus told them, it's going to be hard to be my disciple. A lot of people come to follow him. But he said, it's going to be hard to become my disciple. He says to them that they'll have to forsake all. They'll even have to hate their own life, he says. Their father and their mother and their wife and their children, their brother and their sister. Their own life also. That's what it'll take to be his disciple, he tells me. They would have to suffer. It would even cost them their own life. And then he gave them these two parables here that kind of seem to be out of place with sacrifice. He's talking about to be his disciple is going to take sacrifice. They're going to have to suffer. But he says these two things about these people. He talks about these two people. One sat down to build a tower, but didn't consider how much it was going to cost him. How much it would take to build a tower. He didn't have a plan. He didn't count the cost. the other, a king. He said a king that would go out to war. A king can first sit down and consider what it's going to cost him. Consider whether or not he can win before he goes into this war. And then in verse 33, Jesus says, so likewise. So here's the verse where he's tying up. He's telling you the point of these two things, these two little stories, the illustrations. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Now, we didn't see these two people right above there forsaking anything. So let's make sure we can understand what he's talking about. And Jesus is telling them, just like you would not start to build a house without a plan, without counting the cost it's going to take to finish it, just like that, you also would not become his disciple without knowing the cost. You should not become his disciple without realizing the cost, without considering what it's going to cost you. He says, just like you would not go to war without considering the cost to win, you should not become my disciple without realizing the cost. You know, why would Jesus say that? Why would he tell these people that? Is he trying to discourage them, we might think? You know, if someone talked like that today, we would say, what would we say to them? We might say, well, they didn't want any disciples. They're trying to discourage the people. We would think they were not being very optimistic in the way they were teaching. Would we do that? Would we think that way? Because that's the way Jesus taught. That's what Jesus told these people. Is that what Jesus was trying to do, was discourage the people? Was he trying to get rid of the multitude? Did he not want followers? Sometimes we look at people who preach too boldly or preach things plainly and we say, they're not wanting disciples. They're not wanting to teach people. They're driving people away. But he's not trying to discourage. That was not Jesus' point here. He was not trying to discourage, but trying to prepare those who were really wanting to be his disciples. Trying to prepare them, to let them know that there was cost involved, and they need to realize that now, to be prepared before the cost came upon them, to be prepared to go into that war, to be prepared to finish the building, to sit down and to realize the cost and realize whether or not it's important. To be prepared and to expect to have a cost. And we need to be prepared. And we need to prepare others for the trials of this life. If we go out and we make Christians and try to tell them that there will never be another problem in their life, that they won't have trials, that everything will always be easy for them, we're just setting them up to fail. Setting them up to be discouraged and disappointed. To be shocked because they didn't know what to expect. And that's what Jesus is trying to do here, is to tell these people what to expect. To prepare them. If we expect everything in our life to just work towards making us comfortable, then we'll really be shocked at life, won't we? If we think we're the center of everything and everything in this life is just to make us comfortable and to entertain us and it's all about us, then we'll be shocked at what happens in this life. Because that's not the way that life works. And sometimes young Christians need to be prepared for the test of their faith, for temptations. We have to be prepared for the fact that we will be tempted. the same way the children need to be prepared that life will sometimes be hard. And not to just think that the whole purpose of life is for making ourselves comfortable. The whole purpose of life is for entertaining ourselves. The purpose of this life is not just to please us. And sometimes we lead people to think that the purpose of life is just to please yourself. But Jesus didn't want these people to not be prepared for the cost. We'll come back to this and talk more about this illustration, but as we think about Christians need to be prepared for the cost and for the trials, Peter tries to prepare Christians in the same way that Christ is trying to prepare His disciples here for the trials of life. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, "Beloved, think it not strange the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." This is 1 Peter chapter 4, that's verse 12. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happeneth unto you. But rejoice, insomuch that ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. In their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first began with us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where then shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as a faithful Creator." So Peter is not trying to discourage here, but he's trying to prepare and encourage these people. Encourage them to look forward, to not be ashamed of suffering as a Christian, and to not be worried when they suffer to do the will of God, but to commit their souls to Him and to rejoice to suffer. That's what he says. Rejoice in so much that you partake in the suffering of Christ. He doesn't want them to think it's strange if something comes to try their faith. Hard trials came upon these first Christians and on Christians throughout the years. They've had to prove their faith. And he's telling them, don't think it strange that a temptation, these fiery trials, hard times are going to come. And don't think it's a strange thing when they do, but rejoice. And Peter's encouraging them, but Peter knows what he's talking about. And as he's telling these about suffering for Christ's sake. He's done it. He knows what he's talking about. From Acts chapter 5, we can see there how that Peter was teaching, and they took him and they put him in prison. And God released him from that, and they caught him again. You see in Acts chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, "Then came one of them and told them, saying, Behold, the man whom ye put in prison for standing in the temple and teaching the people So they are now standing in the temple. They're preaching to people again. Peter was back out again doing what they had taken him and put him in prison for. And then you see in verse 40 where they went and they took him again. And they had this trial. And then they decided, if you go down to verse 40, it says, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles, they beat them and commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." So Peter knew what he was talking about. It says he rejoiced, rejoicing that he was counted worthy to suffer shame for Christ. Temptations, we have to have those in our lives. Hard times, trials, and we need to be prepared for those things. Jesus had tried to prepare his disciples. And it looks like Paul was prepared for that, or Peter was prepared for that. He was not shocked when he took beatings for Christ. He was not discouraged and quit. He went on every day teaching in the temple. Every day teaching in the temple and from house to house. He went on because he knew it wasn't a strange thing. He knew it was something he was expecting. And when we're prepared and we're expecting something like that, when we expect hard times and we're prepared for them to come, they won't stop us from doing what's right. They won't change our course. But if we think everything is always going to be easy, then we'll always be looking for the easy road instead of the right road. Don't take the road that's easiest, but find what's right. Do the right thing, not because it's easier to do, but do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And Peter knew that being a Christian was a hard life. He knew it. He knew that following Christ and teaching Him, teaching Christ to the world, was going to be a hard thing. And because he knew it, he kept doing it. He wasn't discouraged when they took him and threw him in prison. He wasn't discouraged when they took him and they beat him. He kept going. He was willing to pay the cost. He even rejoiced to suffer for Christ. He even rejoiced in it, it said. And that's what he encourages them to do. 1 Peter 4. That's what he encourages Christians to do as we have trials. As we have times that we have to suffer things for Christ's sake, rejoice in that. James also says to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord and rejoice whenever we endure temptation. In James chapter 1, started reading here with verse 9, he says, Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. So he's talking about being exalted here and rejoicing, being happy in the Lord. We should be happy in the things of God. It says, "The brother of low degree, let him rejoice in that he is exalted." Christ exalts us. But he says, "But the rich in that he is made low." So the rich are to rejoice when they are made low, he says. And then he goes on to say why. He says, "But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass shall pass away, for the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of the Lord, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. See, God, there is no shadow of turning. There's no variableness. There's no changing. But if we were to be rejoiced in our riches, rejoiced in our own selves, then those things will go away. But instead, we are to, when we are made low, rejoice in that. Rejoice in that, for that's when God will glorify us. When we endure temptation, he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for that's how we'll receive a crown from God, glory from him that will not fade away. And he gives the warning there about sin. And Jesus and Peter and James, they've all said to us, there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay, and it's worth it. It's worth it. Rejoice in these things. That's what he's saying here. It's worth it, for we'll receive that crown. We'll receive a reward that will not go away. It's worth it to pay the price, because if we don't endure those temptations, he gives us a warning about what happens there. Then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It's worth the cost. There's a price to pay, but it's worth it. Paul also says it's worth the cost. He says it's worth any cost. He says, if by any means I might obtain the resurrection of the dead. In Philippians 3, he says this. I'll read some verses here from Philippians 3. I'll start reading with verse 7. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, having not mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And then Philippians chapter 3 and verse 11, he says, he's talking about all these things that he might suffer and that he might lose and suffer loss and all the loss that he has. He says, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. If by any means, by whatever the cost, be prepared that there will be a cost, but it's worth it. Pay whatever it's cost. If by any means, whatever it takes to be right with God in the day of judgment, have that resurrection into eternal life, heaven is worth any cost. But not to think that we'll have a joyous and an easy Christian life without paying any cost. We should not think this way. We should want to have a stronger faith, be willing to pay the cost for it. We should be prepared and not to be discouraged when life is hard on us. You'll have to pay the cost. If you want a stronger faith, you have to pay the cost for a stronger faith. Listen to God's Word. That's one of the costs that you'll have to pay, is to listen. He says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, you have to do something. It's going to cost you something to have a stronger faith. Faith is going to come by hearing God's Word, listening to God's Word, and applying it in our life. That's one way to have a stronger faith. Do you want a pure life? You want a life that's pure, a life of righteousness? Then you'll have to pay a cost. It's going to cost. And be prepared for it. If that's what you want, you need to know what you want and know you're going to have to pay a cost for it. Pay a cost of enduring temptation. Pay the cost of refusing desires that we might have. Refusing ourselves, denying ourselves, that's the cost we'll have to pay for a pure life, for a righteous life. Be prepared to pay the cost. There's no reason to take the easy road or think that we can avoid the cost, because everything has a cost. Having a righteous life has a cost of enduring temptation. But giving over to temptation also has a cost. We can see this in our lives. We can see it in this life. There's a cost to giving in to temptations, to not telling ourselves no, to not denying ourselves. That has a cost also. A cost in this life. Has unimaginable cost in our eternal life. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow after me. There's the cost to following Christ. If you're going to come after him, you have to deny yourself. That's the cost. But he also teaches us about the other cost. He says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for soul? There's a cost, and it's worth it. That's what he's saying here. What would you give for your own soul? It's worth any cost. How would we categorize our life? Jesus puts it here that a man will, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall find it. How would you categorize your life? Are you saving your life? Are you losing your life for Christ? How do you live? What do you live for? Do you live for yourself? Or do you live for God? So we need to be aware of the cost in our life. So going back to the parables that Jesus gave to start with, he gave the parable of the man that has to consider the cost of building a tower. The man, the king, that would sit down and consider the cost of going to war. He wants us to consider the cost of being a Christian, being his disciple. Sit down and consider, can I afford the cost? Realize that it's going to have a cost, but can I afford it? Do I have the power to win the war? Do I have the resources to finish the tower? Do we have it? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he's warning us here again about temptations, about the trials to come in our lives and temptations that we will have. And he says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, begin reading with verse 12. Says, wherefore, let him that think he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. So we will have temptations, but they're common to all men, he's saying. But God is faithful. God is faithful. who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. We'll have temptations, but God is faithful to us. He will not allow us to suffer. He will not allow us to be tempted above which we are able to bear. But with every temptation, provide a way of escape that we'll be able to bear it. He didn't say we'd have a way to avoid all the temptations, but a way to bear it. Wherefore, dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. So God is our power. He's our assurance to come through these trials. If God is on our side, or rather if we are on God's side, then we cannot lose the war. We do have power to win the war. But if we are fighting against God, then we cannot win. We cannot win fighting against Him. Count the cost of our war that we engage in. All things are possible with Him, as Jesus told them. As people, and Jesus was giving His teachings, and some of them were astonished and at the measure of it. And it says in Mark chapter 10, it says that they were astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" Sometimes we see these trials and these things, and we get to wonder, well then who? Who could do this? But when we have God on our side, as we count the cost and look at what it will cost us, realize we have God on our side to pay that cost. For Jesus said unto them there, with men it is impossible, but with God, but not with God. Not impossible with God, for with God all things are possible. For God has the strength. So when we count the cost, realize this, that if God is on our side, we can have that cost. We can have the resources to finish our tower. But realize there will be a cost. Jesus wants us to be prepared. God wants us to know from the onset that life will be difficult. To know before the difficulties come that they're going to come. We're going to have hard times. But that we can win. That's the message that Jesus wants us to realize. That God wants us to know that life will be hard. But we can win. Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies." So strengthen your faith this morning. Strengthen your faith to trust in God through the trials of this life. And be determined. Determined now to pay any cost. Whatever it might take, when it costs more than we thought, be determined to pay. And let's be prepared, realizing that there will be cost. Be determined to pay any cost to have eternal life. For it's worth it. And that's our sermon this morning. We want to extend an invitation. If anyone needs to be baptized, or if anyone needs to come and request the prayers of the church,